Our scripture reading for this morning comes from three different sections of the book of Acts, first in chapter 2, and then chapter 8, and then in chapter 10, and they are consecutive together in the bulletin. But first from Acts 2, verses 38 through 41, this comes on the day of Pentecost after Peter has preached to those that have gathered in. As he finishes, they ask, the brothers ask, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" And in verse 38, Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And then from chapter 8, verses 9 through 13, a strange little account about Simon the sorcerer. "Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, 'This man is the divine power known as the Great Power.' They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw." And then in chapter 10, at verse 44, we follow up the account that has been going on in the chapter about Cornelius and Peter. And here, as Peter has taught, we read in verse 44, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, 'Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have.' So he ordered them that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, I pray for your strength this morning that you would be able to speak through me with a crackly voice, and sometimes I'm just not pronouncing words the greatest, to help me slow down. And Lord, I pray that what I offer would be bringing glory to you and peace to your people. In Christ's name, amen. Acts chapter 2 comes on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit filled all of the gathered disciples of Jesus. And at the end, Peter stood up and he spoke to the crowd, reminding them of who Jesus was. And when Peter had finished, Acts 2:37 tells us that those who listened to Peter, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" On Ash Wednesday, we talked about clean hands and a pure heart. And so these individuals, having been filled and listening, they were cut to the heart and they wanted to know what was next. Peter's response, of which we just read in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter's response was that they should do was to tell them to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the way to salvation. How to be saved from this corrupt generation. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, in Christ alone. Repent. Repent means to turn around. Repent means to turn away from our sin. We have to recognize the sin in our life, to consciously make a decision to stop that sin, to avoid that sin, turning from sin to righteousness to right behavior. I knew every time I put my hand in that cookie jar, I was disobeying my mother. And I thought I could get away with it by then stealing the cookies from the freezer. And I've told you that one years ago. I knew what I was doing was wrong, and it took wrestling to teach me to give up those cookies for a while. But we have to turn, even from what we like, we have to recognize it as sin. So I was not just eating a cookie, I was cheating and I was disobeying. And I had to stop that, to repent and turn away from that sin. According to Scripture, repentance is entirely an inward act and should not be confounded with a change of life that proceeds from it. Repentance happens within when our desire comes boiling out, being filled with the Holy Spirit to stop that sin. What happens next is the fruit of that time of repentance. Confession of sin and reparation of wrongs are the fruit of repentance, a changed life. In his book titled I Surrender, author Patrick Morley wrote that the church's integrity problem is in the misconception that we can add Christ to our lives but not subtract sin. That we can add Christ to our lives but not subtract sin. It is a change in belief without a change of behavior. And a true change of repentance, there will be a change of behavior. And some illustrations about repentance. A man was praying with his pastor at the altar. He prayed a prayer that the pastor had heard many times before. Lord, take the cobwebs out of my life. And just as he said this, the pastor interrupted, kill the spider, Lord. Many times people ask the Lord to forgive us of our sin, and yet we leave the source of that temptation in our life. We have to rid ourselves of the spider, the source of that sin. A soap manufacturer and a pastor were walking together down a street in a very large city. The soap manufacturer casually said, "The gospel you preach hasn't done much good, has it? Just look around. There is still a lot of wickedness in the world and a lot of wicked people too." The pastor made no reply until they passed some dirty little children making mud pies in the gutter. Seizing the opportunity, the pastor said, "I see that soap hasn't done much good in the world either, for there is much dirt and many dirty people around." And the soap man said, "Oh well, soap is only useful when it is applied." And you know what's coming next. The pastor said, "Exactly so it is with the gospel. It is not enough to believe. The gospel has to be applied to our lives, to our hearts." The gospel, salvation through Jesus Christ, that gospel needs to be applied to a person's life. Repentance and baptism. It is an amazing blessing to serve as a pastor and be with people as they near death or be with their families after death. And these three ladies that have passed this last 10 days, Rosemarie and Mary Jane and Phyllis, I've known them as women of faith, years of faith. And their ending years of health problems weren't their only health problems. And they made it through. And they lived in peace. Two of them expressed how they just wanted to go home. They wanted to be at peace. And when there's that sense of faith in the person that has died, that jumps over into the hearts of the loved ones that are left. And there is a peace in those three families. And that peace passes understanding, as Paul writes of in Philippians 4. That faith is a result of repentance and baptism and the salvation of the gospel being applied to a person's heart. Peter's words of warning in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, they're obviously still applicable in today's world. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Corruption and sin and temptation, they're all around us. Everywhere we turn, we see or we hear ads for illicit activities that may in themselves look good or look fun, but they're not. There are the news headlines about murders and robberies and cheating and all kinds of illicit behavior. Linda Hare placed an article from the Bryan Times on my desk this morning. It's by a pastor, a retired pastor, Mike Kelly, who used to pastor a church in Bryan, and I still think he does a home church in Bryan. And he is writing a series on what is sin. And I only got to briefly look at it, so I couldn't put it all in there. But if you get the Bryan Times or you want to Google that, I'll be reaching out to Mike and asking him for how that whole series, because we have to recognize what the sin is in the world. We have to recognize what the sin is in ourselves so we can repent from it. Words of warning. To stay strong in faith, to avoid remaining in the pitfalls of sin, we need to repent. We need to repent. We, me, you, I. Not everyone else, but we ourselves, whatever that sin might be. The story of Simon the sorcerer we read of in Acts 8 offers a very intriguing account of the power of the gospel. Hear that account again. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. In the Bible, sorcery is associated with the occult, with magical practices, and often with the taking of mind and mood-altering drugs. Whatever real power Simon had, it was from Satan and not God. Think about all the magic shows, all the things that you might have seen in your life where they're grandiose, but you know they're all somehow deception, right? Sleight of hand or whatever that might be, but I enjoy watching all of that. Well, that's what was happening here with Simon the sorcerer. But in verse 12, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." They had listened to Simon the sorcerer. Now they had listened to Philip, and they believed, and they changed from Simon to the gospel. And they believed, and they were baptized. And Simon the sorcerer himself had listened to Philip and came to believe, and he was baptized. And he began to follow Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and the miracles he saw done in the name of Jesus Christ. Conversion came through the power of the gospel. Simon the sorcerer, having encountered Jesus through Philip's preaching of the gospel, Simon believed and he repented and he was baptized. Repentance, the inward act of recognizing and confessing sin. Repentance comes before baptism. Baptism is accepting the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, being cleansed through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, sacrificed on the cross for our redemption, for our cleansing. In the account from Acts 10, it's part of a lengthy account about Peter and Cornelius. Cornelius is a centurion in the Italian regiment who was known to be devout and God-fearing. Cornelius had a vision, and he was told to send for Simon Peter. And so he sent some people to bring Simon Peter back to his house. And as Cornelius was having his vision, Simon Peter was having his own, and he was up on the rooftop. and heaven opened and a sheet descended, and on the sheet were all types of animals. And the Lord told Simon Peter to kill and to eat, declaring that what God has made is clean for people to eat. The messengers from Cornelius reached Simon Peter right after his vision, and Simon Peter is moved to go with them. And there's a large part in chapter 10 where Simon Peter is not only speaking to Cornelius, but he's speaking to the whole household of Cornelius. He is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was a message of God accepting people from every nation. And Simon Peter speaks to the household of the ministry and the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we pick up the account again in Acts 10:44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They had already been indwelled with the Spirit, and now the Spirit was upon the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Salvation came when each one of these Gentiles responded to Peter's message with believing faith in their hearts, so that they were born again as they listened and believed. God loved and blessed the Gentiles just as he had loved and blessed the Jews. And he did it while they were still Gentiles. God reaches us where we are and with who we are. Cornelius was undoubtedly a good man, and yet he needed Jesus. Even good people who are respectful towards God still need to come to Jesus as their Lord and Savior and put all their trust in who Jesus is and what Jesus did for them. I want to close with a couple of scriptures from Romans. First, from Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It is a reality that we have faith in Jesus Christ, and that gives us this hope in the glory of God. In Romans 8, verse 3 and 4, for what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, the law of the Old Testament, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. To know our sin, we have to know Jesus in the gospel. And so he condemns sin in sinful man. Jesus Christ, through his death, condemns the sin within us, moving us to that recognition of repentance, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but live according to the Spirit. To live according to the Spirit. I've made another mistake this morning. In my week, I was kind of distracted towards the end. I didn't get all the concerns in my mind down on paper. So as I'm reading these verses, I'm thinking about Bob Voss. Bob has been attending here at St. John's for a while, and I was able to visit him a few weeks ago. And then last week, on Monday, he had a cancer diagnosis, and on Wednesday, he fell, and he fell during the night, and he couldn't get up, and it caused a heart attack, and he was taken to the hospital. He is now in rehab, at Root Rehab. If you've met Bob, he's back to his bubbly, faithful self. I got to visit him on Wednesday, and the first thing he wanted to know was, how was my wife doing? Wasn't concerned about himself at all, but please be continuing to pray for Bob as he recovers from that time. I try to live according to the Spirit, and God just put his name back in my mind. So please be aware of that. When we are in tune with the Spirit can speak to us at any time about our sin and about the need for prayer, about the joy of life. May that joy be yours too. Amen.
Please stand if you are able, and let us recite the statement of faith, which is printed in your bulletin.
We believe that salvation is a gift of God's grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Christ's death fully accomplished justification and redemption from sin. Christ died in our place and bore our sins in his own body. On the third day after his death, Jesus physically rose again, demonstrating his victory over sin and death. We believe salvation is received by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You may be seated.
Please pray a prayer of dedication with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for all the many blessings that you have given us. We humbly and gratefully come to you with our offerings. Please enable our offerings to help fund the work and growth of your kingdom here on earth. Please help us also to glorify and enjoy you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen. At this time, I invite the ushers to come forward and let us receive the offering.
And now invite our ushers to come back in for our second offering on this fourth Sunday for the offering for our capital campaign. I want to share the update with you about the capital campaign as of January 31st, 2023. So far, the building fund has $1.1 million in it with Engler, Garrow, and Roth. The Bureau Estate Fund has $775,000. And the Legacy Fund has almost $100,000. So we're sitting around $2 million invested towards capital projects. And you know that, or if you've been around, you've heard that the current building project is supposed to be around $1.6 million. So we have those in hand, but we have 1.6 of 4.5. So we continue to seek your support of the program, to know that some members of the building committee are trying to work on some homework items, and then soon we hope to have a building committee meeting to be able to address some of that homework about elevators and heat in the floor and those kind of things. So thank you for your support and prayers.
Please stand if you are able, and let us sing our closing hymn. We will sing "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." It is found on page number 172 in your hymnal. We will first sing verses 1 through 2, and then we will have the spoken benediction. Remain standing for that. And then our benediction and song will be verse 3 of "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." So let us sing.
Is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. May his peace be upon you. Remember that following the benediction and song, we invite the members of the church to be seated for the congregational meeting.